It's never a good place to be in when you lose. It's been an interesting journey being on the board of Unit 4, certainly during the referendum, the two failed referendums. You know, when we lost the first referendum by a really small margin, that gave us hope. But what that also did is it let those that were opposed to the referendum, it made them aware that, you know, there were people that recognized that there, you know, we're over capacity in our high schools and we need a new school. So the direction that the board had been working toward was, you know, in acquiring land. And we had those conversations openly for quite some time, you know, about where we were in the process. They were opposed to it. So they, you know, in the second referendum, they actively campaigned against building a new school for the children of Unit 4, for the high school.
That had a lot to do with the Keep Central Central.
Yes.
Campaign.
So yes. So that's where that strong no voice came from. And actually, a lot of people on that committee, you know, and there were emails going back and forth between a lot of those players with board members, you know, and trying to have the conversation. But what didn't happen is that the board did not feel, as the Keep Central Central leadership felt, that we needed to continue, you know, the same old thing. Their goal was to expand Central, continue to have the kids travel to remote locations for athletics, and just to build there. Which I still, you know, it's a beautiful building. Capacity-wise, it does not serve our children. The layout of the school, in my opinion, does not serve our children best. You know, it certainly is how I was taught as a kid in public education. It is not how children should be taught now. It's a lot more collaborative now in how we're teaching our children and how businesses operate. How our kids learn needs a completely different setup, I guess, structure wise than what we have. And our you know, when we've rehabbed our schools, our elementary schools, we've been doing that. You know, the furniture, the layouts of the classrooms, the tools that our teachers use are very different from, you know, when I was in school, you know, a few decades ago.
Before the vote on the second referendum, where was your mindset in terms of thinking, gosh, if this fails again, about your own future as a board member?
Okay, so here's what people tell you about a school board member. They tell you that it's not political. Let me just correct that assumption. It is very political in nature. You know, so people, they say people are not elected on the base of their views, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Independent, or whatever. That is so not true, because that is how it operates in the political sense. I didn't really care about my election for the next time. I mean, I wasn't looking to win votes for personal use. That wasn't why I ran for school board. I think when you run for public service, your goal should be to do what you feel is best, not for the next not for the next election.
We have to bring up the fact that the News Gazette just ended an article on the turnover rate in the Unit 4 board, mm-hmm. and a lot of it couldn't be helped. We had a tragic loss in the district. Some people moved out of the community. Another resigned for health reasons. What's your take on what turnover can mean for the future?
So I'll address that a little differently. I think that different thoughts and different perspectives are always good for conversation. Whenever you have people that think the same way and they're always on the same page, there's no room for change and there's no room for new and innovative ideas. You know, when we had, when I was on the board, I think we had two openings, right? So Karis Lee was an appointee, and then also John Bambanek. Now, I will tell you, both Karis and John brought a lot of value and discussion and change to Unit 4. And I think that was good. So probably the hardest part that I certainly recognize is administration, because they have different bosses, right? So whenever one of the seven leaves for whatever reason, they now have a new personality they have to deal with. So that is probably the most concerning issue that I would see.
Is there an alternative site to Interstate Drive in terms of the new Central? And if not, what's it going to take to convince voters?
You know, Chris Kleppel is the president, and I have a lot of admiration and respect for Chris. I believe a lot in what he's doing. I don't know what that alternative is. I think that, you know, one of the things, I had a conversation with Nate Banks maybe about a month ago. And, you know, Nate years ago tried to start a charter school, right, for African-American kids. And one of the things that I have come to learn, you know, I've done a lot of advocacy in the realm of our homeless population within UNIFOR. It's astounding and it's crazy because, you know, our kids, they're dealing with adult situations. These are not things that children should have to be dealing with. So we took a visit to Jennings, Missouri, and visited Jennings school district. And they have, it's almost 100% poverty, right? And they've been able to raise their student achievement rate. So in talking to Dr. Taylor about, you always want to see if somebody's doing something great, how do you bring that back to your own district and how do you replicate that? When you have a large group of kids and you can have one solution versus all the many solutions that we have to have for our diverse group of families and kids in Unit 4, it's much easier to change that, to increase that learning gap or to decrease it. So I think that there are other models. So I bring that up to say, I think there's more than one solution. I think that based on, and I think Jonathan Westfield alluded to this, you know, all of our elementary schools have like, you know, there's a micro society of arts and each school has like its own identity, the STEM Academy, right? Maybe our high schools need to do the same thing. Maybe there needs to be something specific for kids that have extra needs. I don't know what that is. We have to think differently than obviously what we're doing and what we're trying to move forward, because until we start to think differently, we're going to keep coming up with the same answers, and the kids are going to be the ones that lose out.
They haven't had any specifics yet, but there's a new conversation about facilities, and they're starting to have that. I mean, any input there as to what you like about that, the way that conversation is starting to go?
I don't know if it's a new conversation, Jeff. It's a regurgitated conversation. You know, when I've heard, you know, since this new board, and it's not against the new board, certainly, it is just that we've done this work already, right? So if you want to reinvent the wheel, I don't know how you're going to do that. The information is the same, right? It's not, in my opinion, facilities are what they are. The information can't be reinterpreted. It can be, you know, said again. And from a different voice, it can be said differently to a different group of people, right? So sometimes it is, and I recognize this certainly, that I probably most certainly alienated people because I was a pretty strong advocate for 80 acres that we purchased. I believed in it. And so I'm not going to change my mind to now say, well, that's not a great solution. I still think it's a great solution. I think there are other solutions that are possible. I'm not opposed to those. But until, and this is true of anything, until there's something to vote on, people really are not paying attention. You know, it's like when we go to the polls, a lot of people really aren't listening to the presidential debates. I, for one, happen to miss the other one because I'm like, I'm done with all the rhetoric, right? Let's wait until March 15th and we can go and vote and who our D's and our R's are and whatever. And then let's have the real conversation. So until there's something to vote on, you know, people typically don't come out to voice their opinion.
So any regrets on your time on the board or anything you would have done differently?
Done differently? No. I'm proud of a lot of the things that has happened. You know, the minority and female work policy that we've put together. One of the things I always want to make certain is that any of the public dollars that we spend goes to those people that are representative of our community. I don't have any regrets. Certainly not winning the referendum would be, you know, if I'm going to say a regret. I wish we had done it differently. I don't know how we could have done it differently. When we did the second referendum, I think people were tired. There aren't many people that understand how to run a campaign. It's very different than saying, give them all the information and they will come out to vote. That's not how it works. Keep Central Central used a lot of negative rhetoric, and that worked in their favor.
What's your mood going to be going into your last meeting coming up next week?
What's the mood? You know, I'm going to talk a lot about what I learned when I went to Jennings, how they're handling their homeless population. We have some properties that we've acquired recently by Franklin that do not have a purpose yet. And I know we have a lot of young people that are homeless and they do not have parents. So they're unaccompanied youth. So it's my hope that the board will see to use those houses, you know, while they're accumulating property for expansion in the future, to be to good use and help to remove a barrier that some of these kids have for learning.